Good morning.
Good morning.
Great to see you in the house of the Lord on this fourth Sunday after Pentecost. Can you detect someone's personality by way of a handshake? A handshake may not always be a fair assessment. Can people identify the fact that you are a Christian by having a conversation with you or by observing your actions? Our identity, whether it be our personal identity or our spiritual identity, both are under attack from many fronts. Does it matter? What are we to do about it? Well, let's review what God's Word has to say about this as we hear His Word through the sung and spoken Word. This too is a day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and help us do that. We turn our attention to our opening hymn, hymn 747 in the Blue Songbook. Please stand as we continue on page 3 of the service bulletin. We worship this day in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness.
Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, protector of all the faithful, you alone make strong, you alone make holy. Show us your mercy and forgive our sins day by day. Guide us through our earthly lives, that we do not lose the things you have prepared for us in heaven.
Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Please be seated. Our first reading for this fourth Sunday after Pentecost comes to us from 2 Chronicles, the 33rd chapter, where we see nothing new under the sun, evidence of the fact that there is rejection of God all around us. And in response, then and now, we see God's justice and mercy in action. We hear this account. Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king. And he reigned in Jerusalem 55 years. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord, following the detestable practices of the nations the Lord had driven out before the Israelites. He rebuilt the high places his father Hezekiah had demolished. He also erected altars to the Baals and made Asherah poles. He bowed down to all the starry hosts and worshiped them. He built altars in the temple of the Lord, of which the Lord had said, "My name will remain in Jerusalem forever." In both courts of the temple of the Lord, he built altars to all the starry hosts. He sacrificed his children in the fire in the valley of Ben-Hinnom, practiced divination and witchcraft, sought omens, and consulted mediums and spiritists. He did much evil in the eyes of the Lord, arousing his anger. The Lord spoke to Manasseh and his people, but they paid no attention. So the Lord brought against them the army commanders of the king of Assyria, who took Manasseh prisoner, put a hook in his nose, bound him with bronze shackles, and took him to Babylon. In his distress, he sought the favor of the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his ancestors. And when he prayed to him, the Lord was moved by his entreaty and listened to his plea. So he brought him back to Jerusalem and to his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord is God. Afterward, he rebuilt the outer wall of the city of David, west of the Gihon Spring in the valley, as far as the entrance of the Fish Gate and encircling the hill of Ophel. He also made it much higher. He stationed military commanders in all the fortified cities in Judah. He got rid of the foreign gods and removed the image from the temple of the Lord, as well as all the altars he had built on the temple hill and in Jerusalem. And he threw them out of the city. Then he restored the altar of the Lord and sacrificed fellowship offerings and thank offerings on it, and told Judah to serve the Lord, the God of Israel. The people, however, continued to sacrifice at the high places, but only to the Lord their God. The other events of Manasseh's reign, including his prayer to his God and the words the seers spoke to him in the name of the Lord, the God of Israel, are written in the annals of the kings of Israel. The word of the Lord. In response, let's join together in our psalm for today, Psalm 32.
Amen.
wants us to remember that refrain. Remember his mercy and his love. And speaking of that, we turn our attention to our second lesson from 1 Corinthians chapter 6. How can you be sure that you are able to enter heaven? The Lord makes the how and the who very clear. May we be just as clear. Or do we not know that the wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. The word, the clear word of our Lord. Let us read responsively the verse of the day. Hallelujah. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Please rise for the gospel reading. Take it from the Holy Gospel of St. Luke, the 7th chapter. Do you love the Lord a little, or do you love him much? And where's the evidence? We hear these words. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little, loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Let us with confidence confess our Christian faith today, using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended to heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified,
who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated as we continue with our next hymn, hymn 479. Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in great abundance. And this is possible from God our Father through our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We turn our attention back to the second lesson for today. We will hear once again these words from 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And that is what some of you were. This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed by that rock and redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, called by him to live now and into eternity, you are in a place, in a room, that you have not been in before. And there are other people in that room, people which you do not know. You have not met before. Is it hard for you to approach someone else and introduce yourself? Some people have no problem going up to a complete stranger and having a great conversation with him or her. All of us would rather watch paint dry than have to talk to someone we don't know. How we act can depend on our mood, the circumstances, and so on. Sometimes the people in a room, as a way to break the ice, are asked to introduce themselves and give a little bio, a little description about themselves. Do you know what you would say? Would you talk about where you were born, where you live, what job you have or did have, how many children you have or don't have, how many pets you have and or don't have, what your interests are, what you struggle with, that you are a follower of Jesus Christ? Those last two are pretty personal, aren't they? And probably not something that we would bring up on a first-time conversation, a first-time meeting someone. So while we may not introduce ourselves right off the bat as being a Christian, we are not to intentionally hide the fact that that is who we are. And so the encouragement for today, based on God's word before us, is simply this. Be clear how you identify yourself. Make it clear to others, and then also help others be clear. The word of God before us in 1 Corinthians 6, it is a sensitive topic. God makes it clear, though, who is and who is not able to enter his heaven. At the same time, keep in mind, God wants all people to be able to enter his heaven. To prove this, he has even given us the credentials necessary to enter heaven. He gives people a new identity. Why do people need a new identity? Well, keep in mind again, who we were and who we are apart from Christ by nature. We are objects of God's wrath, of the Creator. We have a sinful nature in us, which rears its ugly head from infancy on. Too many, even within Christendom, pass over or ignore the doctrine of original sin, which helps explain why there are bad people in the world. And who is part of the bad people in the world? Well, look in the mirror. Sin too often in our own life rears its ugly head, does it not? And because then they overlook the doctrine of original sin, they also miss the need for what God has done for us out of love through his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. By nature, because of our original sin status, we need that Savior because we are at odds with God. And on our own, we cannot change that situation. But through the gift of baptism, God enables us to have a changed relationship with him. Baptism is not something we do for God. Baptism is something God does for us. Through baptism, the Holy Spirit uses the word connected with that water to bring us into our relationship with God. Baptism drowns that old nature, that old Adam. But as we know, that old Adam is a good swimmer and it rears its ugly head day after day. And as Martin Luther pointed out, we need then to drown that old Adam daily. And how we do that is by contrition, recognizing who we were and are apart from Christ and who we are in Christ. And so by daily contrition and repentance, not willing to continue in a life of sin, but rather just the opposite, to live in the life that God has called us to live and enables us to live through the means of grace called baptism, through the means of grace called the gospel, in the Word itself. So you and I, we now have in Christ this sinner-saint relationship. And with the Apostle Paul, we can appreciate what he says in Romans 7. The good that I don't want to do, that I keep on doing. But the evil I don't want to do, that I keep on doing. What a wretched man I am. To emphasize why we need to stay connected to Christ, who enables us to drown that old Adam, to put away, to put aside that evil we don't want to do and do the good that we want to do, the good that God has planted in us by His Word to do. And so, dear friends, as we get into this text, it's important to remember who we were so we can appreciate who we are and then better help others identify who they were or maybe still are and who God wants them to become and why. It all goes back to God being a loving God. He created us out of love. He has redeemed us out of love. There is no other explanation why God did what He did for us human beings and giving up His Son to die on a cross, to give up His Son, to forsake Him for people who did not deserve it. But that is what God, out of love, did so that we could have complete and full forgiveness. Not by our having to die, because that would have accomplished nothing, but by the death of His Son, which accomplished everything. Dear friends, let us not lose sight of God's love through the cross. And it's because of that cross, then, that we have been called into, that we have a relationship with God through the cross of Jesus, that we, in Christ and empowered by the Holy Spirit, can make choices in our life. Apart from Christ, the choices we make, well, they're going to be self-centered and they're going to take us deeper and further away from God. But with Christ in us, we can make sanctified choices. For we have been called to be holy. And as called holy ones, then we look to God's Word for guidance and motivation. And He puts it there before us. As one of God's people, one of His own, we now desire to walk with Him, to drown that old Adam, and to follow what the Lord has recorded in Acts 5, for example. We must obey God rather than human beings. And that's where the rubber hits the road, doesn't it? Because every day we have a choice to obey God or to obey human beings. Just because human beings may say something is now legal or okay does not necessarily mean it is legal or okay in the eyes of God. And so which way are we to choose? Which way are we to support? Make your identity clear. Make it clear to others. Is that easy? Not even easy in the church, because too many in the church have abandoned the Word of God, have been willing to compromise the Word of God. For what? Earthly convenience? God didn't say it was going to be easy, did He? Not just to live life, but to confess Him as Lord and Savior, even in the face of opposition. Think of the early Christians. How many of them were arrested and persecuted and burned alive because they stood with God to the end? Now, their human life may have been taken from them, but what did they gain? Eternal life with God. Now, God's not telling us to intentionally put our human life in jeopardy. At the same time, let us be faithful even to the point of death, and God will give us the crown of life that He has won for us through His Son, Christ Jesus. Dear friends, let us always make our identity clear, that we stand with God. We are aware of of what we are up against in this world. We cannot help but be aware as we listen to the news, as we go to work, as we hang out with people, even family members who are living in ways contrary to the Word of God. And do not hesitate to let you know that they are fine with their identity against God and will give you a hard time for standing with God. And for some reason, we end up being the sheepish ones. Oh, we are like sheep who too often go astray, are we not? So thankfully, we have God's mercy new every morning to strengthen us, to forgive us for the times we have acted like sheep, and to give us the strength to stand clearly on the side of God. Now again, we're not intentionally looking to make waves. We're not intentionally looking to harm people. If someone is on fire, what are you going to do? Just walk on by? No, you're going to help that person or try to. It's kind of like when you're offering first aid to someone. You have to identify yourself as someone willing to help, and are they willing to have your help? If they're not willing, that's on them. And so when it comes to witnessing to the world, we want to be and are to be willing to witness God's plain truth to the world. Because the world is on fire, but may not recognize it so. But if the world does not want help, that is on them, not on us. Ezekiel in the watchtower emphasis. But to simply stand by and not even attempt, that's not what God wants either. And so he puts a sensitive, difficult topic like this before us. Because it's nothing new. Ever since sin entered the world, mankind has been in defiance of God and found some ways to really defy and twist God's creation, to make the natural unnatural. Read Romans chapters 1 and 2. For those churches who say the Bible does not talk about this topic, which Bible are you looking at? There is only one that matters. And that's the one that God has handed down to us through the generation and has been tested time and time again. Dear friends, let us help others see their identity. What and who they are now without Christ and who they can be in Christ. But as we do so, let us make sure we take the plank out of our own eye, out of our own life. Let us not be pointing out the sins and faults of others without addressing our own sins and faults. For then we would be hypocritical. So it's important that we do what we do in the beginning of the service, and we have to do this daily. Confession and repentance and give thanks to God's mercy and the identity that he has given to us. And we pray that God will help us make that identity clear to others in whatever circumstances we are in and help others then be clear about the identity he has for them in Christ. What is the goal of witnessing to those in the world who are in defiance against God? What is the goal of a fellow brother or sister in Christ who has gone wayward in defiance against God, maybe even thinking that the love of God covers their sin? The goal is repentance. The goal is to follow Matthew 18, to not put it all over social media, but rather to go to that person and say, you know what God's word says if we're talking to a brother or sister in Christ. And because we love you, we're having this hard conversation. This is not easy for me or for you, but it's necessary. Again, how we make it clear to others will depend on the circumstances. Do we know that person or don't we know that person? And at the same time, dear friends, don't take a back seat for who you are by the grace of God and standing on his side, because the other side is not taking a back seat for where they stand. Tolerance is a two-way street. You cannot have it both ways. You cannot say this is not okay and say free speech for everyone and then not offer it to everyone. When you run across that situation, you know that you are on solid ground. And so don't go back on your heels. Stay focused and firm with God. Stand your ground. As you do so, remember that our role is to simply plant seeds. Seeds of law and gospel. We do that by making our identity clear by how we speak when we're around others, giving evidence that we are a follower of Christ. Again, not jamming it in someone's face, but just simply how we carry about our life in conversation and through our actions, how we work, our work ethic, how we treat people. We are to treat people with respect even if we're not given respect. We are to show kindness and compassion even when we're not shown kindness and compassion. We are to show what love really is, even though love has been hijacked. The love that matters is God's love. That's the love we are to show. And sometimes that love is tough love. But the goal of that tough love is repentance. It's getting people to heaven. Now, people may deny that heaven exists as a way to justify their lifestyle, but that doesn't change the fact that it's still there. And the Bible makes it clear, anyone, no matter what the sin is, if you are active in that sin, unrepentant, then you're not in. So let us not then just be looking out at others. Let us also look at ourselves and make sure by the grace of God we do not lose out on what God has for us and wants for us. Make sure that we continually are looking for and taking the plank out of our own lives. And then we are in a better position to talk about the speck in the lives of others. Speak the truth in love, dear friends. Always making your identity clear in the process. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, who is our identity. Amen. We pray, Lamb of God, let our lives for you be given, our years for you be spent, our ties to earthly goods be gone, our gifts with love to you be sent. You gave yourself that we might live, to you ourselves and all things give. Amen. We continue with the prayer of the church. Almighty God, heaven and earth are full of your glory. All the stars, the sun and moon, all energies and forces, the sea and clouds are messengers of your wonder and might.
For your creation, we praise you, O Father.
We pray for your church and your people.
Grant us ministers and teachers who are led by your Spirit and earnestly hold forth your word of life.
Save us from all false prophets and deceitful guides, that we, being knit together in love, may with one mind strive for the truth of your word. Guard and defend our homes, that parents may be kept in the bonds of love and rule their children well, nourishing them in truth and righteousness.
Bestow your favor on all useful labor in industry and agriculture, in education and science, the professions and the arts, that in their advancement your people may prosper.
We pray for all who may be ill in body, mind, or spirit, for all who may be in danger, for all who may be in anxiety or perplexity, for all who may be suffering disappointment or defeat. Be present with them in their afflictions. Show them the way out of all their troubles and save them for your mercy's sake. Lord of life and love, you do not allow happenings in our life without a purpose, though we may not always see what that purpose is at the moment. And so we give you thanks for watching over David Scultetti during a recent health scare, providing the health care he needed, and in short order, allowing him to return home and back with us at church. With the same confidence, we ask that you provide care and healing for Jackie Moeller as she has a medical procedure scheduled for this coming week. Fill David and Jackie, along with their loved ones, up with your grace. Bless the Tree of Life campers and volunteers this coming week. Bless them with safety. Bless them with renewed and new friendships. Bless them with memories for years to come. Bless them with the time spent in your word. Birthdays are another reminder of your grace, O Lord, as you are the giver of life, the physical and the spiritual. For those among us privileged to celebrate another year of grace, continue to open their eyes to the blessings you have given and will put into their life, that they may reflect glory and praise back to you. And renew the love between husbands and wives, especially those among us celebrating their wedding anniversary. May we, their friends and family, continue to support them in their marriage, living life in your ways. Now hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. Heavenly Father, you did not spare your own Son, but freely gave him up for us all. And we also pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Please stand for the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is good and right so to do.
It is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who promised that wherever two or three come together in his name, there he is with them, to shepherd his flock till he comes again in glory. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song.
Holy, holy, holy,
Our Lord Jesus Christ, the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he gave it thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
will give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endures forever.
We give thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us with this Holy Supper. We pray that through it you will strengthen our faith in you and increase our love for one another. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Please be seated. At this time, we'll have the installation of church officers. So we ask them to please come forward. Dear brothers in Christ, you have been elected and appointed in a regular meeting of this congregation, St. Mark's Evangelical Lutheran Church, to represent this congregation in an official capacity. As such, you are to be associated with the appointed ministers of the Word in the work of building up God's kingdom among us. You are to see that the services of God's house be held regularly and conducted decently and in order, that the gospel be preached in its purity in accordance with sound Lutheran faith, that the necessary provisions be made for the instruction of the young, and that Christian discipline be maintained. You are to administer the temporal affairs of this congregation, keep its property in good repair, and oversee the providing for the called workers' support and for all other necessary expenses. You are to assist the pastors in the care of the sick and the needy, in the cultivation of peace, harmony, and love among the members, in the promotion of the general welfare of the congregation, and in the furtherance of Christ's kingdom at home and abroad. You are also, as servants of Christ and officers of his church, to set your own households and the whole congregation the example of a devout Christian life. In order then that the congregation may be assured of your willingness to serve, I ask you in the presence of God and of this congregation, will you diligently and faithfully perform the duties of your office in conformity with the ordinances of God, the confessions of our church, and the constitution of this congregation, according to the ability which God gives, then answer yes with the help of God.
Yes, with the help of God.
I would ask you now at this time to turn around and please state your name and the board that you serve. We'll start with Ryan.
Ryan Miller, Board of Adult Discipleship.
Chuck Klinker, Board of Stewardship.
Dan Cummins, Board of Elders.
Tom Schlettenhardt, Treasurer.
Tim Breichreitz, Board of Child Discipleship.
Mike Rausch, President.
Jim Oswald, Outreach.
Greg Meyer, Board of Worship.
You may turn back. Thank you. Whereas you have made this solemn promise, I herewith commit to you the exercise of this office to which you have been elected. I charge in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of the church of which he is the head, that you give all diligence to perform your manifold duties with untiring faithfulness and constant concern, as you will desire to have done when you shall be called to give an account of your stewardship. Make the word of God your guide and search it daily for instruction. And to that end, that your ministrations may serve for the glory of God, the best interests of this congregation, and your own great joy. May God, without whom we can do nothing, plentifully endow you with his grace and bless abundantly all your faithful labors. We pray. Most merciful and gracious God, who is an ever-present witness of all our promises and vows, we ask you for Jesus Christ's sake, send down your Holy Spirit upon these, your servants, that they may discharge their duties with diligence, steadfastness, boldness, and wisdom. Grant them in particular the spirit of devotion and prayer, that in every time of need they may, by prayer and supplication, make their requests for the church known to you, and in this house lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Enable them in all things to show themselves patterns of good works, that by their lives they may edify your congregation, and that the enemies of your church may find no ground for complaint. Set them for a blessing to your believers, keep them in sincere harmony with their pastors, and grant that also by their service, the unity of this congregation may be strengthened, that your name may be kept holy, your kingdom enlarged, and your will done. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Go then, dear brothers, as you have been called. Be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, For as much as you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. And so depart in peace. As they depart and back to their rows, their pews, we also take this occasion in the name of the congregation to give our thanks to those who in the past have served the church in an official capacity. May the Lord continue to use them in service to his church and for his glory. Let us continue now with our closing hymn. Great to see you in the house of the Lord once again. Guests, glad you are here as well. If you're a first-time guest with us, please stop by our Welcome Center and receive a gift as well as find materials about our purpose and mission. Bible study today taking place here in the church sanctuary, the Gospel of Luke. The new life in Christ is on hold for today. It'll resume again next week. Teen and Sunday school the classes are taking place as usual. This is Mission Box Sunday, so LWMS, support of our missions throughout the country and the world, please stop by the information board and check out the information as well as an explanation of the Mission Box, what that is all about. If you haven't picked up your book directory, they're here. There's a little sticky note with your name on it, so they're out there by the TV on the ledge where we usually keep the food for snack time. And if you had your picture taken, you get a book. For those who do not have their picture included in the book, we'll see if we have some left over, and if we do, then we'll make them available to you. Also, then the online directories, instructions on how to download the new directories, that'll be coming out shortly. Jesus Cares, worship today at 2 o'clock in a multipurpose center. VBS is right around the corner. If you want more information about that, how to sign up or how to volunteer and meeting times, again, go to our website, see page 20 of the bulletin, as well as the weekly news for more info. Then just a note about Folsom. We have extended a call to Pastor Dave Calpine to consider serving that new mission startup as our daughter congregation, and we learned last night that he has accepted the call. And so he'll be making the transition to our area. That is good news. And this will be on the fast track now as we make allowances for him to move, he and his family, make it a peaceful move transition as possible. So continue to keep St. Mark's and Folsom and everyone here, brothers and sisters in Christ, in your prayers. Before we have a stewardship update, Chuck is here to give us a brief, sweet message on our stewardship. I just want to take a moment, since it is Independence Week, but every day, thankfully, by the grace of God, it's independent spiritually and physically. Can you open up your hymnals to 619? We'll use 619 as a prayer, and after that prayer, then we'll have Chuck come up and close us out. Thank you for your patience. We're doing an a cappella. Beautiful acoustics. God bless our
morning. That's a tough one to follow. I get a little emotional with gratitude and hope hearing that song. Well, just a little update in stewardship. Our 2018-2019 fiscal year ended last Sunday, so I'd like to give you an update on how we finished the year and also take a look forward. As reported last May, our members continue to come forward offering their time and talents on both a regular basis and for special needs. Thanks again for your support, especially for those people who come here and work tirelessly week in and week out helping things at St. Mark's. Financially, we finished well, with offerings for the year essentially on budget, helped by an anonymous over and above year-end gift. So we have been able to meet all expenses and pay all the bills. And offerings were fairly consistent throughout the year and on an upward trend. Notably, another $5,000 has been added to the endowment fund, bringing that to a total of $15,000. And as mentioned earlier, and with the great news of Pastor Kelpine accepting the call, the opening of a daughter congregation, a goal for many years, is now in the works. Looking forward, we projected offerings for this coming fiscal year, the one that started just last week, based upon last year's offerings. But expenses will be up, so we are looking at a deficit budget for the current fiscal year, which I mentioned began last July 1, the other week. We anticipate this to be a one-year situation, as next year, a substantial savings in mortgage costs from our refinancing at a much lower amount due to the Not Without Purpose campaign should free up a lot of our offerings for the operating budget. That, along with stability in our school enrollment and a slight increase in tuition, will also help to close that gap. But meanwhile, this coming year will be tight, so I hope our upward trend will continue and encourage all of us to respond to this short-term need with either an increase in our regular offerings if we can, or an over and above offering every now and then as God enables us. Thanks again for your continued support of St. Mark's, and please take the time to greet one another.